Well, I thought about this text, and I consider just telling you, you don't have anything to worry about, because at Colonial Avenue, it's all good seed. Everything will grow and do well and prosper. No bad seed at all. But I realize there's different kinds of ground. I'm a city boy. I grew up in Kansas City, but would go to the country to see my grandparents, and they had their crops. My grandfather would tell me, you have to really work hard to get a good crop. Sometimes the soil is a little difficult, clay or rock, and it's not easy to grow a good crop all the time because you're dependent on the weather and other factors. Anybody grow up in the country? Anybody? You have to do a little planting of your own, and you know what that's like living in that kind of a community. Now, this story in many ways is a puzzle. It was a puzzle to the people that Jesus was telling it to. That's why we've got the explanation that comes later. They didn't quite understand it. They didn't quite get what Jesus was talking about. And you probably heard it before and probably heard other people speak on it before. In fact, it's probably one of the first texts that anybody preaches on. I don't know how much I can add to Jesus' sermon, but it seems to me there's still a little work to do to gain new understanding. And there have been no lack of attempts to unravel the story. My own very unscientific survey conducted over about 40 years of ministry, this is probably one of the most popular, but also most difficult texts to unravel. We probably heard it in Sunday school, maybe Bible school. But every time I hear it, this is usually what I get. And maybe you get the same thing. The primary function boils down to this. When it comes to God's kingdom, some folks are in and some folks are out. And according to that interpretation, the word comes down from heaven to everybody. Right? But some people, for various reasons, don't get it, or don't accept it, or have challenges that they just can't deal with, and so they're out. And then there are those who are in, because we got the good soil. You notice I said we. Right? I have to admit, there's something to this way of looking at the parable. You don't need to tell me there's a wide variety of reactions to the Word of God and the message of Jesus. I'm ranging all the way from disinterested to just rejection completely. I deal with it all the time. We talked about it in Sunday school. You try to tell people about the Word of God and they turn away from you. You share with them that you're a Christian and they don't want to have anything to do with you. Tell them about church and they say, I had a bad experience at church and I'll never go back again. Right? We know what it's like. I mean, I don't have to tell you about this because you encounter it all the time with all the people that you're talking to, running into. But Jesus says to you, meaning the disciples, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it hasn't been given. So this in versus out way of looking at God's kingdom ends up, well, it appeals to the human nature. We're in, they're out. Most of us aren't content with the undefined and unfortunate group on the outside. We have a tendency to want to distinguish just who that unfortunate group is. And so the little parable isn't abstract for long. in verses out, personify. These folks are in, those folks are out. I'm convinced none of us can be an us until we've singled out of them. If the soil we're standing on is the good stuff, then the ground that they're standing on must be the bad stuff. Right? They got the rocky soil. Too bad for them. And the middle portion of the story gives us a little humility. Because right before Jesus explains the parable, he tells the disciples something about the prophet Isaiah. It wasn't read to you. That's the part I left out. But it's kind of important. This is what it says. You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they've shut their eyes. This little bit of the text really calls into question our ability to parse the good soil from the rocky soil. Isn't it strange that we seldom seriously consider the possibility that we might be the rocky soil? You know, in all the times I've heard this text preached, I can't ever recall hearing a pastor say that. What? We might be the rocky soil? We just don't want to admit it. We might be the ones who are hard-hearted, unforgiving, uncaring. Can't really hear the Word of God because we're so focused on us. Not really growing into the people that God wants us to be. Because that takes work. And so we just prefer to be short-sighted, hard-hearted, mean-spirited. Because that's easier. It doesn't help us to grow into the people God wants us to be, but it's easier. Can't ever recall hearing a pastor warn that his theology or her denomination might just be a little rocky or untrustworthy. It's always that fertile soil in which we stand provides the perfect place for us. Now, you know, I'm not one who just accepts traditional translation because it's traditional translation. I like to hold the text up, and I really see it in a prism. I let the light shine through it. Sometimes I take a passage I've preached on before. I'll look at sermons I've preached, and I see it in an entirely different way. I think the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. You can read the Word of God over and over and over and over and over again. You can read that text over and over and over again. But if you let the Holy Spirit shine through it in a different way, you can see it in a different light. It's almost like a prism where you get different lights depending on how you hold it. Have you ever held a prism up to the light like that? It's like a rainbow. But you get this light and that light, and you see it this way and you see it that way. And that's why the Word of God just speaks to us new and different ways through the Holy Spirit all the time, if we let it. So I'm thinking that maybe we ought to read this text with a little humility. And maybe kind of look at what's under our feet. And we could all avoid a good deal of harm, hate, and embarrassment if we would. And we'd do well to heed Jesus' warning. Don't trust your own eyes, your own ears, your own heart. From time to time, Isaiah knew well, it's not reliable. What you think you see, well, that's not what God sees. What you think you know, God knows the truth. And that's why this whole exercise in drawing lines between in and out and them and us, it's dangerous business, folks. So guess what? I'm not really sure what this story is about after all. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think Jesus meant for it to be that simple. In fact, I think when Jesus was talking to his disciples, quite often they got it all wrong. And sometimes I think we do too. And you know why they got it all wrong? Because they were thinking about what they wanted, not what God wanted. And they got it all wrong. Whatever else this other people listening to Jesus, the disciples are definitely thinking they're on the good soil, just like us. Did they get it right? No. And if there's one thing we can be sure of at this point in Matthew's Gospels, that's the category the disciples are included in quite often. We get included in wherever else all the other people listening to Jesus might fall. You know what? I think we fall there too. We heard a moment ago, Matthew even has Jesus assure the disciples, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom." But this isn't the last time Matthew's going to tell them this. Chapter 26, a few pages over, about the time Jesus' enemies are closing in, and you hear Jesus quoting the same Old Testament prophecy to his disciples. It's the same prophecy from the prophecy of Isaiah, the same one, but this time something changed. "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be shattered." Scattered, rather. And suddenly the line gets shifted and the disciples find themselves very much on the outside looking in. Throughout his gospel, Matthew plays around with this, in and out, reminding us it's a tricky game. Being with Jesus on the inside one moment doesn't necessarily guarantee you a life on Easy Street, folks. It didn't work that way. Returning to terminology of the parable, it would seem that not even the best of us are able to live permanently on good soil all the time. I don't know about you. Last week, Shelley called and she said the washing machine broke. I said, oh dear, okay. Oh, and the light post out front's broke. I said, oh, okay. And then I called her. Some woman just ran into my car. She said, oh dear. Oh, by the way, the air conditioner's not working. What? Right? It's life, isn't it? Is it always good soil? Is it always good times? Does everything always go the way you want it to go? Does it always work out like you planned it? You could probably more likely identify with one of the other scenarios that Jesus is talking about. I feel like I'm on a little rocky soil right now. Not really going so great. I think I got eaten by the bird, buddy, you know? This isn't good. And God's Word sometimes, you know, it just feels empty. Wow. There have been other times when we thought we were pretty much, you know, everything's going well. Life is great. Everything's working out just fine. But most of us are going to face darkness and depression and difficulties, and it's going to choke our life off from God. And there are going to be reasons in your life when you're going to wonder, oh, is this faith stuff really worth it? Some people, good people, just quit coming to church. I don't know about that stuff. The good news is not that we're the good soil. Though, at times we all know the feeling of being safe on the inside with Jesus. The good news of the parable is that despite the rocky, dry parts of our life, I got to tell you something, folks. The good seed gets planted everywhere. Isn't that great? Gets planted everywhere. It's all over the place. You know what? If you look, you will see it, and it's growing. Because the work of Christ never ends. The work of grace, the work of love, it never ends. It's always ongoing, and you see it in the greatest of places. Sometimes you see it in the most unusual places. Wow, look at that flower growing out of those rocks. How did that happen? And isn't it beautiful? Anybody ever seen that? I got good seed in my mulch. I didn't want it in my mulch. But on the grass, not so good seed. It was dry, but the mulch, the grass was growing just fine. Sometimes the good seed will grow in unexpected places, folks. And that's the good news. Youth have just got back from a week of camp, and the mission team's heading out, and we finished another week of Bible school, and boy, I tell you what. You know what? I feel a great deal of sympathy for those saintly souls who volunteer their service to give themselves to others. It's hard work. We're going to be praying for you all as you're going out planting seeds of Christ. I was thinking about the youth and my own experience at camp. I was remembering anybody go to camp? Anybody, adults, go to camp? And you know, sometimes it's not just the adults that can be traumatized at camp. Sometimes the children can be traumatized too. I remember my experience in going to camp and listening to the camp preacher and the evangelist, and he was going on and on. And he preached on this, the good soil, bad soil. He wanted us to accept Christ as our Savior and to be on the inside. I got it. And do y'all remember this? Everybody heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody remember that? When the evangelist, you close your eyes and bow your heads. And then if you want to accept, you want to be on the inside and you want to be in the good soil, will you raise your hand? I was kind of halfway timid. I sort of didn't, you know. Every year. The moment of reckoning, final judgment. And the voice of the evangelist. You know, despite his assurance, no one except him and the Lord will see, I sort of froze up because I thought somebody else was peeking. What about you? And the truth was found because my heart sometimes is a little shadowy place. Not always the way it should be. How about you? And I knew I'd followed the Roman road. I'd prayed the sinner's prayer. I knew that, you know, but I wasn't always living it. Not all the time. Looking back, I think the time I believe the evangelist had done me a big favor, forcing me to confront myself. The sin within me. But quite apart from the manipulation, the whole thing about thinking about God's kingdom, I dare say it doesn't matter one bit whether you feel comfortable raising your hand in public or just sort of raising it halfway as I always did, or if you're afraid to raise it at all. Now that I'm older, I can see it's precisely in the moments you have the most difficulty seeing the seed of God's hope. That you need God's love most of all. Folks, you're going to encounter some people who need hope. You're going to encounter some folks out in the world, and they don't feel like God loves them at all. But you know, I found in those moments, Jesus is really close. Jesus is really close. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads and raise your hands. I believe God planted the seed of God's kingdom in your life. Whether you see it or not. I believe it. And Colonial Avenue Baptist Church, this is one of the best places I've found for good growth. Because we just don't accept things. We question and challenge and try to see deeper. Good for you. And we try to cultivate good seed in the lives of others. Our prayer list. You know, I love visiting people on our prayer list because you know what I hear? Well, so-and-so was just here. She just stopped by. I just got a phone call from him. Isn't that great? Because we're busy planting some good seed. Caring for others. And there's going to come a day when somebody's going to need to care for you. Maybe they already have. Keep planting the good seed, folks. Mission team, church, keep planting the good seed. Help somebody to grow. And what you'll discover is that you grow too. In wonderful ways. So if you don't see it anywhere, well, you might need to be a sower. Help the seed to grow. Let's pray together. God, we humble ourselves before you. We know we're your children. Teach us not to draw lines. to create division. Us, them. Help us to live daily as if your kingdom were really here on earth as it is in heaven. And God, make our blind eyes to see and our closed minds to be opened so that the seeds of your kingdom may grow within us and that we may bear them out into the world. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.